Yeah?
Two problems, okay.
First one is, Corey Cody said that the whole point of covering your show that you're touched, show people that you're married.
Nope.
And you have to cover it not from your family because they know in front of strange men.
Nope.
But what happens once you're married and your friends know it also? Like what's all...
So that's why I explained to you that if you are in the privacy of your home, in my opinion, that's why there's no Torah requirement to cover your hair. The reason is because in the privacy of your home, it's assumed that everyone knows who you are.
No matter who comes?
No matter who comes. The assumption is in your house that people know who you are. That's how I understood it. By rabbinic law, as I explained last time. So that's why I explained to you that if you are in the privacy of your home, in my opinion, that's why there's no Torah requirement to cover your hair. The reason is because in the privacy of your home, it's assumed that everyone knows who you are.
No matter who comes.
The assumption is in your house that people know who you are. That's how I understood it. By rabbinic law, as I explained, there's plenty to be required to cover your hair anyway. If someone else walks in.
And why is that?
I explained to you. The rabbinic law says that even if the original reason for the Torah's prohibition does not exist, they gave it a status of erva, because there's an obligation to cover it, and once that status of erva is there, it's a problem whenever someone outside your immediate family, blood relatives, walks in.
Right.
Or your husband, of course.
According to our Moshe, we said that really it's not considered erva because depending on what the person the norm or what society is.
No.
So then today, like, why do people still have to cover their hair if erva is based on what society is, if men are used to seeing women every day?
So I explained to you the two issues. Number one is that according to this role, majority of the authority was seeing that covering the hair is different. Because covering the hair is found explicitly in the Torah as derived from the Sota. And when it comes to covering the hair, there's an obligation to cover. And that obligation to cover never changes. It's found in the Torah. And it is different than the obligation to cover other parts of the body, which are, according to some authorities anyway, more subjective.
I thought that Rav Moshe said that it's not, today there's not a problem of men davening.
Right. That's as far as the prohibition against davening.
But it's not.
So Rav Moshe holds that the prohibition against davening, that doesn't exist in today's society. Rav Moshe does not say that there's no need to cover the hair in today's society.
But if there's no, if it's not considered ever, then why is there?
I think that he's working with an assumption that the prohibition against reading the Shema or the benching opposite the uncovered hair relates to the force which would be in a person's head. And even though I tried to argue against that last time, he disagrees with me. He's totally entitled. The question I found is to disagree with him. He doesn't disagree with me. Okay, yes.
According to our Moshe Tshuva of showing this
much hair. No, yeah.
Are you saying that technically you can show that much hair covered?
That's what our Moshe sounds like he said. I think the Rebbe's in front, she walked up and went like that. I think if I recall, that she used to walk around.
I thought that was answering to, could someone marry a girl who wanted to cover her hair that way? And so he said,
I don't remember. I don't have it in front of me. Let me take a look. I have a book. Let's see. I don't have the text of our motion paper here. Maybe it's closed.
So should all the
members
cover?
Oh, here we go. Hold on. Well, let's take a look over here in the Mishnah Berurah. If you have it in front of us. Okay? He says as follows. But Rav Moshe is saying, if there's a custom to be lenient, which means that's a little less than a tefach, he said it's okay. That's called Rav Moshe, it's okay. And others will come more strict. Let's take a look over here in the, I hope you still have your Xerox from the last time. Save it. Yeah. The Rambam says it's just permissible to say the Shema opposite of a woman who's single with hair uncovered. Wadin Asara Shal Noshim Jeregilim Lateis Mechus Latim Ton. That which extends outside of the covering. Whatever it was, a hat, dude, a tichel, kerchief, whatever it may be. So the Mishnah Berurah at Yudalis wrote to Loma, it's the last six lines of the page, page 216. Rotel Omar, who is Rat Kovach al Rosha, Yesh at Semet, who begged on the Tzamte, Maseo, Shlo Yetzu Lachutz. Also, Ma'achi, Yesh at Tzamte, Yotze Mi Asemes, as a Megal Arash. In other words, according to this Chassam Sober that he quotes, it only permitted the tiniest amount. They didn't have snooze in those days. Snooze would cover the whole thing. They used to have a kerchief, but you had to put in with a pin. And by definition, if you take a smile out of a bobby pin, there has to be a little bit of hair showing out, otherwise it's not going to go. Am I right or wrong?
Right.
Some little bit of the thing is stick out. That's all that the Chassam Sofer says is okay. Nothing more. That's what he says. I don't know if he agrees with that. We'll see soon. Uvi Zohar Parchas Nato. Zohar, we know, is occult. It's mystery. Not that which is absolutely required. You don't have to know about it. How can you say it if you have to do it? You don't have to know about it. Zohar, by definition, is what's called soul. Nevertheless, those who know about it. Echmir ma'ovich lo yisrael shum seo ma'isha. The garma miskeinus ha'levesa causes poverty. The garma livnod lo yisrashim b'dorah. It causes that the children will not be important in the generation. The sitra achodesh shum b'vesa. The evil spirit will somehow pervade the household. The kosh can't hold us b'shukaka. Certainly if you go on the street that way. Al Kain, this is all Aramaic, according to the Zohar. Boy, Itzel, that feel the is basically Yechmun Sarah Fadamir Eshah. Even the walls of her house should not see even one hair on her body. Of this Kain, if she does this, Maxim was written about her. Banecha Kishtile Zesim, Mazayas Tzvechulek, Bino Yisalton Vachashovin Al Shor Bnei Alma. Her children will be more important than the rest of the world. Lo Ol, and only that, the Balam is Baruch, Bechol Brichon. The house will be blessed with the blessings of above and the blessings of below. The utra, with wealth. The benin, with children. The benay benin, with grandchildren. Ad kanashana bekitzel. The Zohar is very strong in this, you can imagine. But if I'm not wrong, the royal and the kazohar. Zohar, you should follow the Zohar. The Yuma, Isa, the Zohar, Yuma. Master the kimchis, a certain woman. Bitzchus at sneers, haisera, shais above. Very modest. Shiloh Ro covered face of Imre Chalukah. No one saw a part of her. Whatever, right? Therefore, there's a big pitch with Sears over here, the capital of Tata. But I have to tell you, although the pitch is very strong, it's from the Zohar. It's not enough from the Shulchan Aruch. For those who wish to maintain this stringency, okay, but it's not an absolute requirement. Simply not. Simply not. And if you want to see the Magen Avraham quoted a little bit more fully, look at the Be'er Halacha, the last 4.5 lines. When in Ikar Yisur Gilu said that Yishan Chatov Magen Avraham became closest with Tzuvitz, the Dafka B'shuk also. Ava B'chotzer, in her house, Sh'en Anashim Etzu Yerusham, no men are there, Mutarim Leilat Megili Harosh. It's okay, nothing wrong with it. The Zohar says you shouldn't do it. Okay, Rora Lino. So we have to understand the difference between what's required by the halacha and what's considered to be a higher level of sneeze. So, Rav Moshe told you about this. According to the strict halacha, a woman's permitted to go with the hair uncovered in the house all the time, unless you're outside of the coming in or outside of her immediate family. And that's what I tell people. You want to be more strict than the halacha demands, told. I'm not opposed, but you have to know what the halacha is. Is that clear? Is crystal clear? I hope it's crystal clear. Because the women complain that I cover my hair's going to get shriveled and dry and this and that. But I tell them to leave the uncovered in your house. How many hours are you home by yourself? Or home with your husband or your children? And most of the day, probably. You have a 24-hour day, most of the day like that. So it'll give you your higher, what's the word? Have a body. What do you mean, body, if you cover those times? What do I know about these things? Yes.
Must a woman cover her hair in her parents' house?
Who's there?
Her family, her father, brothers, husband, sons.
That's it. She doesn't have to cover it.
Okay.
She has a brother-in-law. Whoops. A father-in-law, that's a different story. Only husband and blood relatives. That's it. I mean immediate, but I don't mean a second cousin. I mean
grandfather's included in that?
Grandparents, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, brothers, you know. That's okay, yes.
But are you,
when
you
listen to
somebody about
your name, say why? What's the sneeze mean? Yes, but everything, you know, it's not the same standard that we are held to in front of brothers if we are held to in front of others of that. Okay, yes.
How old, let's
say there's
a little kid boy now.
That's a good question. That's a very good question. Some of it can be cut off at 9 years old. I'm not sure if it applies in this case. That's a common cutoff in other areas of halacha. Maybe we apply it to, I'm not sure. Don't know. Okay, now we come to the biggie. The Rambam says, "V'kol shekein seyer nochris afilu darko lepasos." What does that mean? Say an upwards, cage cook test? What does that mean? Car, that's right. Corey Nopris, last Sarah, Mr. Brewer says, top of the page. Corey Nopris, last Sarah, and that's that, made the dollar to start. A shape of the wind. Usirle, the Aldel, and Amru Hazal, Sarah, Bisherba. The Gamut of the Galosa, the Ain Novish of Priya Trosh. No problem. Yesh, Tolkien. The Omer. Not prepared enough for Shaykh Sayyab Isha Erba Isha Priya Trosh. And there are those who are strict in this matter. And if that's the custom, then it's certainly a question of what he calls Marat Zayin. The very end of, this, of that paragraph. Marat Zayin. My approach that I told you before is if the Shaykhul is clearly known as a Shaykhul, I think it's okay. Based on our minute. But if it's not. People think it's really the person, the woman's hair. It defeats the whole purpose, in my opinion. And therefore, I'm not opposed to it. I guess it's absolutely necessary. There's no alternative. Maybe it can be expressed some leniency, but not. It's very expensive. When people have spent portions of money to go and try to overcome that law, I'm opposed to it. I'm opposed to it. I have to tell you, though, that the Bir Halacha, we stopped in the middle, here on page Kuftet, he continues. He tries to prove against the we said earlier, he's trying to say that a woman is prohibited to keep her hair uncovered even in the house, even in her own room. This is the Bir Halacha, quotes from other sources. He quotes the Bach, he quotes the Chassam Sofer, he quotes the Svad in the name of Yerushalmi, and the Chassam Sofer says about the 10th line here, Kevin shekvar kiblu avolayu avos avoseinu b'chol mokom sheshamanu shenefotz of Yisrael lesa b'zeh you can't have it like din goma shekiblu alayu kahach ve'o aser boom and artoseinu shenespashen aminik af yazohar isur gomoru u'mishachofet b'brocha yashuk b'imenu. That's calls on in a chatzera mechedra, in the privacy of a home. But to go to the street, oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. You have to, we actually full cover it completely on top. Then comes the kicker. V'da'o, look at this now, the last eight lines. V'da'o, the hanashim shehur glu ledach v'sarat rosha. Those women, yes, who have hair, yes, all story. What does nothing to do with this? He says it's connected. What does that mean? What he's alluding to is that in certain parts of Europe, there was a custom that a married woman didn't cover her hair. She shaved her hair. Have you been a Mayor Sharon? Ever see? I mean, you know, they have the cardboard pickles, you know, with nothing underneath. Why? For one of two basic reasons. Either this one, like he discusses, the question of mikvah. They're afraid to have the hair that they have to shell them, one hair will stick it under the water and the whole tefillah is no good. Or they're afraid that one hair will stick out from under the head covering, which is also terrible according to the Zohar. So for those two reasons, the meaning in Hungary and Galicia and Europe was among the grown women that they shaved the hair completely. The Rabbi is a chub about this too, in which he writes with the whole dispute between husband and wife. He wanted her, what happened? I'm just trying to go. Where? She wanted to cut a hair. He didn't want to cut a hair, something like that. So Rabbi Shira asked the children, this is not a requirement according to the halacha. And therefore you can't impose it on, you can't impose it either direction. I got that impression from Rabbi Shira, I don't have it in front of me. I have an impression from Rabbi Shira that if either the husband or the wife wants the hair to stay on, it stays on. I'm not exactly sure that's what he said. But he said I'll be here within his mutter. There's no need to cut it despite the customs existed in certain parts of Europe. That's what he said. Alright. Any questions about this very interesting topic? Yes?
I have a question on the shapeless. What would go, let's say, to the workplace, that it would be much more of a cover to her in order to wear a shapeless instead of a hat, even though other people wouldn't necessarily know that she's wearing a shapeless?
Yeah, I was once asked by a woman who was in a fancy law firm, super fancy law firm, and she told me they will discover that she's wearing a shadow of fire. I don't think I can do that in today's world with the equal opportunity. I don't know. And she said, so in her particular case, I said it's okay if she wears a fancy shade, but we know she really can't tell. But that was only an exceptional case.
No, but what I meant was because I think that,
I
don't know where I heard
it,
that it's like inappropriate for somebody just in social words. It's inappropriate for somebody to wear a hat and tie.
Wear a shade?
So, but if you wear a shade, they don't know that it's not a
shade. No, most shaders you can't tell.
But people who aren't used to it, like
don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about the Jewish people know. You should worry about them a little bit, but primarily have to worry about the people who know the concept of shadow exists. Yes?
The
halacha
was saying that what was written is read from the Zohar.
Halacha, that's what you have to say. He likes the Zohar. He's very strong on it. But Rabbi Moshe said that there's only a Zohar. You can't force you to keep the Zohar. And I have a clue to know about it, though. I got to point out the key to it. That's what I always say. So, yes.
Okay. Let's say someone does have a shape that looks like real hair. Is that considered that she's really not covering her hair? Like, is that the same thing? Or is she just very much, you know...
If it's her real hair?
It's a shape, though, that
looks like her hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's not the same as her real hair, but it's something I think it's something that should be avoided. I don't want to make things worse than they really are. Okay? Yes?
How about, I read, I don't know which source, that it just cannot be connected to your head, so that, let's say you use your own hair and shape on it.
Yeah, it's okay.
That's okay?
Sure. Use your own hair?
What? Sure, that's what they always did. 40 years ago.
People,
they cut their own hair off, and they want to have their own hair color. Cut their own hair off, and use it as a shape.
So the answer just like, let's say the people who know you know it's shape on
the... Yeah, but by the way, at least according to the technology of the 1950s,
right.
It was obvious that it was your hair but not attached to your own head.
Today?
I don't know what they can do today. I don't know what they can do with your own hair today.
But let's say, when you say that people have to be able to tell, it's not good enough that they know you're from your hair. They have to really be able to tell.
Same thing. I know you're from your hair.
So there are places that know you have a day, that know you're from your hair, what do they do?
Well, so they'll figure it out.
Right.
The famous question, does she or doesn't she?
Wait, so the question is, do I have to be?
So you should try to keep your out of having to answer that question.
Right. People like on the street who know you as well think,
It's better should be, she better should be a situation where it's clearly a change. Yes?
Also, I
have
heard
from
Moshe,
I've never heard of that. Never heard of that. Everyone knows they do electric shaves. So.
Was there an
answer
or
rebuttal
towards like
maritime? There's no maritime. Everyone knows if you love electric shaves. Yes.
Some people I know in Hasidic community, they have the custom of wearing something on top of the shaytel.
Right. And if you look at the Gemara and if you get the impression that Satmas right, you have to wear two coverings. So all Satmas, they wear a shaytel and a hat on top.
Okay. Is there something like as a hakara just to make sure that people would definitely know that that is a shaytel that she's wearing something? Is there an Indian to wear?
No, as the Gemara said, we have to have two coverings. We don't. It's not so simple. The minute that we have to have only one covering is be against the Gemara. So, because my answer is, it changed. I have no problem. It changed. It used to have two coverings, now it's going to have one covering. But the second covering is only Das Yudis. I have no problem with that. But if you don't have it that way, they all have the conventions how to get out of the Gemara. And Satna says, oh, got to keep the Gemara, two coverings, boom. Yes?
What about women wearing veshtah when they go to shul?
Shul hat? Only in shul?
Yeah,
I never heard that the shul should be different than in the house.
I've heard that way people think that you're not wearing a shaytel, so they know
for
sure at least you
covered
cover
the shul. Not a science. Let her wear a shaytel, which is considered a shaytel. It's not the problem.
But the truth is, that has more confidence because then they think she's best wearing.
That's right. Somebody asked me that question. I got that question before. Just yesterday, somebody called me up with that question. Can I wear a hat on top of my shaytel? It'll be embarrassed. I don't think that my shaytel is really my own hair because I'm wearing a hat. I'm not Satna. So what's in this? Well, I said it's okay anyway. But you wear a shaytel, that's clear it's a shaytel. It's not a little problem. Okay, any more questions before we go to the next topic? Yes?
If you are supposed to make it look like you're wearing a shaytel, then why can you use your own hair?
I told you. Your own hair, at least called the 1950s technology, when they put it on your head, may have the same color, and maybe the same, even a little bit the same texture, it was obvious that it wasn't your hair
today
touched your head. So today, there's no difference
really
between your own hair and someone else's hair. If it looks like your hair, I don't like it. If it doesn't look like your hair, and if it doesn't look like it's your hair attached to your head, then it doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. Because it's yours, doesn't make it better or worse, halakhically. Okay? Once it's detached. Okay, we're going on to the next topic. The next topic is Kol Isha. Oh. They used to say Kol Isha is a Bisha. They still say that?
Yeah. Okay.
Wait,
that's before we start.
Yeah.
What if they shave their hair? Why do they have to cover their
hair? Good question. Good question. But I told you before, the Torah requires you to cover your head, not your hair. So therefore, that's one reason. Another reason is obvious. They don't want... There was once a story, it's an unfortunate story, but it had a punchline. There was an unfortunate, how should I say it, kind of a mugging incident, where somebody attacked a woman in the Hasidic community, and in one of the means of attack, I guess he was pulling on her hair so that she should be able to attack, take her wallet away, something away from her. He pulled on her hair, and guess what? Letting him walk, she had no hair, and he said, ah! And he ran away. See that? That's how the story goes. I didn't witness it myself, but they're all going around. Yes? There is a third reason given for shaving the hair, because they were afraid of the goyim. The goyim was set up with the Jewish women. But as a matter of fact, some even associated with what they used to call the rite of the first night, which is written up in your English literature books, and it's also written up in the Gemara, in Subas, Gav Gimel, where they had these terrible non-Jewish tyrants, feudal lords. They say Besuel was that way, but that's why it was called Besuel for that reason. That's why it was named that way. And to avoid their intention, they would cut off their hair in advance. So it's not, it used to be an historical, right? Maybe it still is, I don't know. That's the third reason. I left the reason out. It's a bit funny to explain. But once you mention it, yes, that is the third reason which is given. But the main two reasons what I said before. Okay. Kolisha. Says it's a banana consistent given. The hand paint the top line. Yesh li zoher mishmias kol zemer isha bishas kriyashma. What does that mean? What a strange language is this. You should be careful about listening to this kolisha in the time of kriyashma. Vafilu ishto sederama. I will call a rogil bo eno erva. What does that mean? So this whole thing is problematic. What's going on over here? So the Mishnah Brewer writes, Yud Zayin Zemer Yusha, Afilu Pinuya, even a single woman, Avol Shalom Bishas Kriyashma, Shari, yes? You hear what I, did you see what I saw? Don't jump to any conclusion. That it's not the time of Kriyashma, it's permissible to hear the voice of a single woman. Actually, of course, you shouldn't think too much about it. It shouldn't come to think evil for it. Mizdeva eishes ish v'chein kol ha'arayos l'olam osu l'shmoa. If she's a married woman or any other erva, you may not hear her voice at any time. Here's what this, the undoing of what you said. V'chein k'nuyo shehi nido miklal ha'arayos ki. Approximately the age of 12 years old, approximately. And therefore, you cannot hear the voice of a single girl once she reaches that age. Well, not because them have to be enough. What about a single non-Jewish woman? He can't came to call Erevo. The Osir Lishmoa. You may not hear. Bain Kohen Ubain Yisrael. What does that mean? What the heck is going on here? Whether you're a Kohen or a non-Kohen. You're a Kohen. Why should a Kohen be different? Well, one answer might be that if you're not a Kohen, you could theoretically marry this woman. She converts. You could marry her, as opposed to a Kohen who cannot marry a convert. I guess that's what it means. I guess. When we call Makom, it will be Derech Ben Akam of Yerim Yuanus. He's amongst non-Jews. Sheyev Shel Olimpot, he can't stop them from singing. Kevin Lo Matzino Mikvi Erev Midoraisa. It's only rabbinic. Muta Likva Shel Lamarech. You'll have to read, learn, and say Krishma. In Lo Ken Kevin Shal and Shvim Ben Akam is Batal Mitoro Tfila. Val Benere is Nasla Hashem Eferi Tarasel. Can't help it. He's Amet Libo Lachavin Lakdusha Shu Osek Loisa Libo Lachol Hashem. Try to concentrate and not think about the voice that is being sung.
Is that a
non-Jewish voice? Even non-Jewish or even today. He's assuming that no Jewish was going to sing. Now, well, he didn't know about it these days. But the thing would apply in both situations. This was a test. What does it mean, Mr. Brewer, he says, Lo yichavin lehonos mizeh. Mr. Brewer said earlier that if the woman is single, and if it was beneath the age of 12, let's say, so it's okay if it's not the time of Krishna, but should have in mind to enjoy it. So what are you listening to it for? Obviously you want to enjoy it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein explained what Mr. Brewer means. He means you don't want to enjoy it as a woman's voice. You enjoy the tune. If an 11-year-old girl is singing a song, as far as you're concerned, if an 11-year-old boy would sing, it would be just as good. That's what the Mishnah Brewer means, as Rav Moshe explained. What does that mean? If you want to hear it as a woman's voice, it's comparable, says Rav Moshe, explained to Mishnah Brewer, to looking at a woman for the purpose of having pleasure, which we discussed last time, is prohibited. Two times, whatever it was, a long time ago. Now, Big question. If the entire reason for Kalisha is that it may lead to evil thoughts, the Yehuri one's calling, is level of the hero, then why should there be a difference between a woman who's single and a woman who's married? A woman who's 10 and a woman who's 15? So it seems to me that the prohibition against hearing the voice of a woman, Kalisha, is based on something different. Not because you may think bad thoughts, which, you know, should cause, as we spoke about earlier, but the Shemar to be called Alvarah, and the point to looking at a woman. But a different story. I think it's clear from the Mishnah Berurah that was simply afraid of immorality. Nus. And that's why it's critical to know who this woman is. If this is a woman, and in case you're overcome, and you're overcome through this or song, if you think that this is a crazy possibility, think again. The Gemara says in the Sefer Megillah, that tests vote, how various women were able to conduct immorality. And it says that Yael, famous Yael, the heroine who seduced Sisera and that thereby saved the Jews, how did she do it? Bikola's insult, says the Gemara. She must have had a very pretty voice. She was singing this beautiful song, you know, love song, I don't know what. And Sisera fell into the trap. So we see that the prohibition of Kalisha is related to that possibility. And that's why it all depends how bad that would be. In a case in which, if this Chas V'Shalom would happen, it would be a very serious prohibition, what we call an Issakares, such as a married woman, you know, a woman who's a Nida, things of this nature, then we have to disallow it. If the woman is single and not Nida, then the prohibition of Kalisha does not exist. I repeat myself. If she's single and not Nida, then the prohibition of Kalisha was never instituted. Because even if the worst of the worst happened, and there'll be immorality between this man and the woman who's singing, it would still not be punishable by a Easter of Kares. Because she's single and she's not Nida, so of course it's prohibited anyway. But it's not such a serious prohibition. So the Kalisha would never be with it in the first place. That's what the Pshat of Mishnah Berurah is. There's no, to my mind, there's no doubt about it. The only doubt is maybe Mishnah Berurah is wrong. That's the problem. That's the problem. So it says over here, for example, the Bar Hetev on the very top. The first words in the page is Bar Hetev, Zera Isha, Afilu Pinuya. Afilu Pinuya. So that's the opinion of a different parent called the Sheva. He said that even if it's a single woman, he may not hear her voice. Why? Because he's worried about Hebrew. About the Shkad and the Kol Dovar. So there's no difference. So apparently we're not worried about that. We're not worried that the Kolish is going to cause the kind of Hebrew which is going to lead to Zera Levatol. And therefore it's permissible possibly when it comes to a Pnuya. That's assuming that the man himself thinks that way. If the man himself thinks that listening to this beautiful voice is going to come lead him to hear Urim, to evil thoughts, really desirable by Paul, and things of this nature, then obviously it's prohibited. The Chinuch writes in Kufekes that the prohibitions that we have in these areas are minimum prohibitions, which everyone must observe. But if a man knows that action A, B, C, or X, Y, and D is going to cause him to have evil thoughts, then it's prohibited even if it's not found in Shulchan Aruch. Know thyself.
Any
aspect? Now, why is the Shulchan Aruch so guarded Why is he so guarded in his expression? Such a guarded expression. Unbelievable. What does he say over here? Yesh li zoyer mish... What? Just get up and say it. Come on, man. Say, call me sheriff. But what's going on? Yesh li zoyer mish... What's this? Because the Rosh says that called Isha Erva has nothing to do with Krishna. Nothing to do with Krishna. And according to the Rosh, called Pinuya Tahora, 10-year-old girl who's single, would be permissible according to the Rosh, even during Krishna. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says that the only Yesh Nizoyer, because if you look at the Bera Gol, the Dalit, Mordechai B'Shem Rabbeinu Hayu Shar Poskin, the Mordechai Gosh of High God, who says that that Kol Isha relates to Krishna. What do you mean relates to Krishna? That even a Kol Isha Penuya Tahora would be prohibited during Krishna.
But the Rosh
was okay. Right, so the Mordechai argues with the Rosh. Mordechai. The Mordechai was a contemporary of the Rosh. The Be'er HaGola, you see in the left part of that corner? Gives you the sources. So the Shulchan Aruch. She saw the Mordechai B'Shem Rabbeinu Hai. And since the Rosh disagrees, the Shulchan Aruch used a guarded expression. You should be careful following the Mordechai against, and Rav HaGaon against the Rosh. Fine. I have to tell you this is very, very important. Very, very important. Very important. Unfortunately, there were those who misread this Mordechai in the name of Rabbeinu Hai. I repeat, they misread it. There's a dispute whether Kol Isha has something to do with Kriya Shema now. The Rosh says no, and the Mordechai, quoting Rabbi Hai, said yes. So somebody, some big chacham, misread the Mordechai in the name of Rabbi Hai and said, you know what? The whole problem of Kol Isha is only during Kriya Shema. But if it's not Kriya Shema, there's no problem at all. On this basis, certain halachic decisions were reached. It's pure baloney. It'd be a mistake, a misreading. When the Mordechai says, in the name of Rav Hai, that Kol Isha has something to do with Krishna, what he meant is, even the kind of Kol Isha, which is not prohibited ordinarily, is still prohibited with Krishna. What does that mean? Kol Isha Pinuya Tahoro, which means under the age of 12 nowadays, for all kinds of purposes. But if it's over the age of 12, or a married woman, whatever it may be, then it's prohibited, even if it's nothing to do with Krishna. It's a very unfortunate misreading of this, of that primary source. Very unfortunate. Now, what about the radio? Sefer called Hatznea Leches. You can see it by Rabbi Ellen's son, Olav Shalom. Can we see it? Isha Rav Mitzvot, I think it's a few parts. Hatznea Leches. He thinks that the radio is okay. Because he goes with the same way, same opinion which I mentioned, that Kol Isha is prohibited because it may lead to immorality. Nus. And it's only on the radio, it's not going to lead to this. Well, what if the performer's dead already? I mean, what if the, there's enough dead performers that you can listen to the music, it's not going to cause any... If the person's alive, big deal. This is Hollywood, you're in New York, right? There's 55 bodyguards and dogs around there, so I mean, how are you going to get a pass without these nuts? It's ridiculous. For this reason, he suggests, maybe, he wants to find some kind of justification for those Rubiyid who used to go, or maybe still go to the opera, on the ground that, you know, you're in the place, Lincoln Center there, and the Avery Fisher Hall, is that the right floor? I don't know what's one anymore. And there's an opera star in the front, and you're sitting up in the Shemayim there, and you're going to hardly see what she is, B'chlal, it's not going to lead to any zlus. Alright, listen, to the post-facto justification, I'm willing to buy it. But l'chatchila, ideally, it's not to be done.
Why
not? Hard to know the also, yes, the afra. And what if it's going to be a Jewish afra? Yeah. And what if it's going to be, next thing you know, the shul will put on production? Next thing you know, I don't want to say what's next thing you know. I don't want to say that word.
Yes.
No, it's going to be the afra. The radio, I think it's okay. Some say that television is prohibited because you can see the face. I don't think that's true. Television. No, even those who say that opera is prohibited and radio is permissible, what about television? It's in between. Some say it's prohibited because you see the face. I don't think so. Not the person's voice. It's just a TV. It will lead the person to evil thoughts. Of course, it's prohibited. But if not, I thought it should be permissible. That's what I thought. Yes.
So what if you take a case of a video of, let's say, a Beis Yaakov production or something like that? So ooh, you're gonna know the kids.
How can Beis Yaakov allow the production to be video in the first place?
It was snuck in.
The shoulder will fall into the wrong hands. You have to ask the principal of the Beis Yaakov.
Okay, no, so
but
take,
if you ask me,
yeah.
What the?
What would be, I don't understand the reason why we'd be in the church.
Because I think that if you're not hearing the actual voice, you're only hearing a replication, an electronic replication of the voice, it's not live, it's just a recording. I don't think it's going to, you have the original prohibition, and to add a new prohibition of our own, in a situation in which it's so remote, I don't think it's prohibited according to the day. Well, if you're good idea.
So then what if it's not, you're talking about a voice where it's electronic and it's not the voice,
no.
So then what about at the show when you're using a microphone?
That's a very good question. What about a microphone? A microphone is also an electronic voice, not your own voice. It's a good point. Okay, so some say the microphone is considered your own voice. And I say, even if not, if it's live and right there, you have to, it's hard to be lenient. Again, we'll add that to the list of the post-facto justifications. But it's the chatchila now. Yes?
I heard once, maybe this is wrong, but that an Indian of knowing who the person, who the singer is, and having a picture, if you ever once saw a picture, if you might see a picture of the person knowing who the voice be, based on the voices,
That's worse.
That's worse.
It is, you're right. No question, it's worse. Because if you know the person, or saw a picture, or will see a picture, then I guess it's possible. It's a greater chance of either stop bad thoughts or openly the worst possibility is this. As opposed to if you know who the person is, then it's much more lenient. I agree.
There are also some, for example, Israeli singers that they might have like tapes out which are simulated voices, but they're Jewish and they're. You know who the people
again,
are.
Again, in my opinion, it's more than a strict halakha, it's mutter. But on the other hand, you want to be strict, okay. There's certainly grounds to be strict, but there's also grounds to be lenient. Yes?
I have two questions. Along the lines, and like for a man to be a musical or something like that, where women are singing, it shouldn't be a problem because you're saying, oh, he's so far away and she...
I said that's a post-facto justification. But I would not say that the shul should sponsor the trip to the Broadway play. If they do it, so we have to try to look kindly upon it.
But in terms of the video and radio and things like that, is that in terms of, let's say someone would say something on TV that...
Ah, see, that's exactly the problem. Let's say the X-rated movie. No problem, it's only a video. We have to understand, you have to draw a line somewhere. So there are those who will say, even the song on the video will be no good. I'll give you my opinion. I'll tell you my opinion on these matters. There is a view quoted in Sneh Chemet that only love songs are prohibited. That's what it means, Kolisha, as opposed to a lullaby, when ladies is just trying to get a kid to go to sleep. Or Zmiris, Shirei Kodesh. The dispute. What are they fighting about? Those who are lenient say, if it's thinking Shirei Kodesh, it's not a row your boat. It's not going to lead to any znus. And the strict opinions say one of two things. Either they're afraid of of Yeruri, even nothing to do with Nus, of the Shmata called Avara, well, they're afraid of who is this Nus. So my compromise is, if you're talking about the videos or the radios, it depends what you're listening to. If it's a lull, no, I don't say, they make a studious effort to stay away from the radio. But once I was just, I never had a radio. I was in Eretz Yisrael, I came back, and I just took a taxi, just from the airport just to Queens. That's all, 15 minutes in a taxi, that's all. Oof. It's terrible. That's all I talk about. Just this way, this angle on it, that angle on it, the other angle on it. So there's just a one-track mind out there. Terrible. So that's prohibited. Men singing, men listening, women listening. It's poison. Much worse than Kol Ishah, if you ask me. It's poison. So certainly a man shouldn't hear a woman's voice singing that kind of a song and say, well, it's only a track, it's only a cassette tape. It's only a radio. No, it's poison. Yes. I think those are for men, for women, for men singing. Just the whole thing is terrible.
Let's say someone singing, a woman is singing a song that's about a Jewish
topic,
it's not like a
Zemmer
or anything like that. So, even if
the... Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, I remember that when I was growing up, that was a big... Naomi Shemer, she's cool. She was the lyricist, that was a big hit in 1967. Yeah, okay. And we didn't think of the pop-up coalition, let's put it on the radio. Nothing to do with these terrible things. It's a very nice thing.
But if there's no chance
of
a man seeing what
the
woman looks
like,
but...
I never saw
it on the show.
If the person thinks it'll lead to problems, he has to be mocked on himself. I told you that. If he doesn't think so, I think his group can be leading it. It's only like a tape recorder or a radio. Yes.
What age
if he's bar mitzvah, certainly with a bride. He's going to be at age 9 again, same story. I'll just say that. Yes?
Along these lines, in terms of videos, how do men watch the wedding videos?
That's a big problem. That's a major problem. Nothing to do with Kol Ishah. If the whole idea of having a mechitzah, we haven't gotten to mechitzah the weddings yet. But if the main idea, in my opinion, of mechitzah the weddings, is because of the woman dancing, that's which happens in my opinion. But that's the problem if there is any, is the woman dancing. So you defeat the whole purpose, you put it on video. Right? So, you think I'm crazy, but my opinion is if you have a video, like if you're rich and have these two videos, I saw it. And we didn't think of the proper police, just put on the radio. Nothing to do with one of the, you know, this kind of, these terrible things. It was a very nice thing.
But if there's no chance of the man seeing what the woman looks like, but...
I never saw an Amish ever.
So, is it still possible that it could lead to problems?
If the person thinks it leads to problems, he has to be mocked on himself. I told you that. If he doesn't think so, I think his group should be leaked. It's only like a tape recorder or a radio. Yes?
What age is white?
Well, I mean, if he's bar mitzvah, certainly would apply. He's going to be 8 9 again, same story. I'll just say exactly. Yes?
Along these lines, in terms of videos, how do men watch the wedding videos?
That's a big problem. That's a major problem. Nothing to do with Kalisha. If the whole idea of having a... We haven't gotten to mechitzah the weddings yet. But if the main idea, in my opinion, of mechitzah the weddings, is because of the woman dancing, that's which happens in my opinion. But that's the problem, if there is any, is the woman dancing. So you defeat the whole purpose, you put it on video. Right? So, you think I'm crazy. But my opinion is if you have a video, now if you're rich and have these two videos, that's ridiculous. Like every sneeze has to be on video. And have you seen that? There are two videos, one for the men's side, one for the ladies' side. That's crazy in my opinion. Completely crazy for other reasons. What? So that's my humble opinion. If your wedding is going to be videoed, you do as follows. Have the video man video the chuppah, you know, with the smorgasbord, with the challah, with the chassidish, with the tnoim, with the super, with the badekin, with everything, all the stuff. And then when it comes to the suda, I think the video man has no business being at the ladies' side of the dancing. You can manage with what we call stills. Still, they still have this thing, just like on a regular plane. That's okay. Unless, you know, then you get ready. If it happens to be a pose, which is not stiff, which could happen depending on when you know. So you don't put it in the album.
Why is the male
photographer? Correct. Good question. You have that the male photographer be on the lady side. Good question. So if you ask me, it's better to have a lady photographer. They're awesome. See the Shoen, a lot of lady photographers. In my opinion, it's not such a terrible thing for the male photographer to take pictures of the women there. After all, they are dressed. I mean, I'm not as if they're, I mean, I'll be, at my wedding, there was no mechitzah at all. So, all right. Still married.
But what about men?
It was big seating. So what you should try to do is that there should be a men's side for the dancing and a women's side for the dancing, and the men shouldn't look at the women. They're not doing anything terrible. It's inappropriate for men to stand around and watch as the women are dancing. It's not terrible. I was at a wedding recently. I kid you, this is almost a fist fight. I was at a wedding with a comrade of mine. It was in, it was in November sometime. And you know how it is at weddings. Before the chaskal even walk in, they start a whole dance. And now they have a naya maisa. The ladies got up to all the ladies. The whole dance was taken with ladies. And they're singing some, I don't know, cha-cha, mantra. I don't know what they were doing exactly. I wasn't looking. All of a sudden, a uncle of the chasm, who's a shtikala, this is a mixed seating. Yeah, it was a mixed seating wedding. An uncle was a little bit of a kanoi. Came over to Baron Soloveitchik, who was sitting at my table right next to me. He started to complain. You know, after they already had to say after the fact, but he said, "What's this?" So Baron looks at him and says, What's wrong? So he said back, "The Ben Ishchai." You know the Ben Ishchai is? That's the one of these Sephardic posts of a great note says, it's prohibited to have the women dance with the men in the room, etc. So Rav Aaron, in all innocence, answered him, the Ben Ish Chai is not the Rambam. What he meant to say was, alright, Ben Ish Chai said it, he respects it, but not as if it's the Rambam, it's not as if it's, you know, it's in the Gemara, and then, well, about 5 minutes later, I happen to walk up to a different table in another corner, and I see this uncle with another rabbi who was at the wedding. I was, how do you say it, toe to toe and eyeball to eyeball. I thought it was going to be a I was afraid to look even bad. Because what this guy saying, Rav Aaron is the Vaza the Ben Ishchai. So this rabbi said, now you've gone too far, you'll be the Vaza Rav Aaron. I thought there was going to be a slugfest right in front of my eye. I was so scared. It really getting, thank God, no blood was shed. And, I was the hot topic, I can see that. So my opinion is that it's not right, and it's better in fact to have a pizza for the dancing, but not so strict, not the Rambo. And then for the photographer, we'll say it's all right, for the photographer. Because you have an expression which is called in Gemara, that Umon is Torah b'malachto. If someone who's a professional is doing his job, so it's not going to be the same as someone who's doing it just for the enjoyment of it. I'm opposed to a male lifeguard. See, that's where I think the difference. I say, I'm very much opposed to a male lifeguard. I think there's an obvious difference between a woman who's in a bathing suit and a woman dancing and a gown.
No, but
let's
take a male lifeguard.
So, don't go swimming. You get a male, you get a female lifeguard. Yes?
So what about a case, there are a few tapes out now where it's very possible you'll know the singer. I mean, you know, like high school tapes and things like that. We are gonna know, like, you know the kids. So, a guy listening to the tape, like, I mean, he definitely knows the people.
I still think it's permissible according to the strict halakha.
For what? For what reason?
It's not the voice. It's not law. It's replication. I may not be advised. Well, it depends on who the man is, who the woman is. There's so many different factors in that case. But I don't think it's strict halakha. I don't think it's necessarily critical. Yes. I don't like pants. I just had to do it. I was so upset. In the class before, there were three young ladies here in pants. I never saw such thing before in my life. It's against the school rules. It's in the catalog. It's not allowed. I saw it myself. It's not allowed. I told them, please don't you ever walk into this room again in pants. What's going on over here? If they walk into the yeshiva and my kids are young, I throw them right out. And I heard that Rabbi Berman said years ago that there's an analogy between pants here and the yarmulke for men. Kach shamati. So you can't allow it. But even after saying all that, it's still, I mean, it's long pants, not short pants. You have to be able to draw a line. I think a pants is a lack of tzlius, I agree with you. But it's not so. If you see it in a video, you have to know what they're doing. They're different considerations. I wouldn't say it's an absolute no.
Yeah, but all those videos, they're singing, dancing, I mean, it's
got... It depends on what it looks like, you're right.
Video,
like,
they're not
the police.
They
say
they look
like
something.
Okay. You saw it? Yes?
You're saying on radio or
TH,
do
you
like it's okay? Or...
I think... In some cases, it'd be okay. I don't want to say every case, because it could be for consideration. In some cases. Yes?
What about when you have groups of girls singing, you can't distinguish any voice?
Ah, that's the famous Heter. Two voices. Tre Kole. What? Tre Kole lo mishtamet. Two voices cannot be heard. Problem is, the same Gemara said to my Megillah, it's alright. Why? Aidi de Chavivi. Since it's so beloved, the Megillah, so we'll be able to hear even two voices. The question is, well, what about with Kalisha? Some say, no, the Megillah is intrinsically beloved to you even before you hear it. That's why you'll pick it out. But if the girl's voice, until you hear it, it's not beloved to you, so you'll never come to hear it. Question where you get off the carousel, you know, where you have the merry-go-round. So it's a big dispute. Some say yes, some say no. My opinion is that ideally it's not so great, but if the girl's singing in a group, you don't have to walk out of the room.
So, like, for example, in shul, sometimes they have, like, there's...
Communal singing in shul.
So, like, the women
sing
together.
Yeah, so it's not really right if you sing so loud. If you really sing a little bit softer, the men should drown them out. I go to Camp Marisha. So they have, they have in Shabbos by us, Friday night, and Shalashuda, so the young ladies on the other side have to eat the same room as where I am, with the other members of the polo program are there. So some people walk out, because it's hard to drown out these young, they're very boisterous. So I don't walk out.
Yeah, but at that point...
Sorry? Well, since there are more men than women in the hall, so it's and the men have usually louder voices, so it's really not so bad. So what we do is I have my boys are on the other side of the room from where these young men. So and I'm on the same side of the room. That's the problem. Yes.
Then what if you take a case where you have to, like, you're in there l'chachila, like, can wash a case of Sharia, something like that?
Sharia, so every year it changes. The rabbis do that. Yes solos, no solos, yes duets, no duets. The whole new Shulchan Aruch over there. But certainly l'chachila, I'm against all these solos, and even duets is not so great. When they have the 500 voices singing at once. And it's really hard to pick out a single voice.
So it would be l'chadchil okay to hear it?
They didn't ask me. They even allow some solos, so you can't bring any proof from there. But some of the boy counselors ask me, what should they do? So I say, look, if 500 girls singing at the same time, you don't have to concentrate too much. You don't have to make a stink and walk out.
So l'chadchil though to go there as a guest would be a problem.
Well, there's a guest. If you have a reason to go, you're going because.
Not as a counselor, a guest. You're coming up for the night and yeah,
so you may be going because you want to hear the boys sing. You don't want to make a. So you can maybe find some kind of. It's not ideal. Yes?
It's just from the man's side
that
if a woman's dancing
should be looking.
What's the
obligation to do?
Kodesh.
Well, I'm saying
the dancing. A woman's
dancing in a wedding and she knows. Oh, that's a problem. That's a big problem. Women should not be dancing in a situation in which. It's completely open and the men's around staring at them. But on the other hand, if let's say there's no machitza in the wedding, and there's a separate section we assume for the ladies, and the collar there, and there's some men who are not doing what's right, they should really be on their own side, and they would have machitza now. I'm telling you, I've been in many machitzas, 8 feet tall, 9 feet tall, 100 feet tall, there's still men on the side. I'm telling you a fact, I've been in Gayel Moshe, and all the places, I mean, the woman's not mechuyev to stop dancing because a man is looking at that circle where she shouldn't be doing. That's my opinion. She's allowed to dance for a reason. Not for no reason. The reason is simple sakala. There's a reason. On the other hand, what I'm very much opposed to, my position when it comes to weddings is if I'm the Masada Kedushin, I feel I'm in charge of everything. Everything. I feel I'm in charge of everything that goes on. Happens when I won some years back. I was in the Sadak Edition and the Nubashagas, a little bit more about egalitarian, the Nubashagas, they pulled the chosen into the circle of the girls. I walked into the circle and I pulled him out by his neck. What's your business? He's watching the girls dance around him. I never heard such a crazy thing in my life. I went and I took him by the collar and I pulled it out. Finished. People weren't very unhappy. That was wrong. Yes. So. No, they were 10 years old. Before they were 11 years old, there was no problem with Nida. It was one division brewer. It was Kavis Brewer. No, she ain't a division. Of course, so she's single. No, she's married at age 10. That's the problem. Not a problem. It's very hard to be, set firm guidelines. How terrible is your voice? I don't know, the voice contest. Yes, you qualify, you're terrible. The Gemara does distinguish the contest of the voice for the looks. The Gemara speaks about Isha Yafa and Isha Mechu Eres. a pretty woman and an ugly woman. The Gemara is aware of the fact that not everyone is pretty and ugly. And there's distinctions about if a woman is, if she's married, and even if she's, I think the Gemara has an expression. If she's married, you shouldn't look at even if she's ugly. And if she's single, you shouldn't look at her if she's pretty. If she's pretty, if she's ugly and single, it's not so bad. There's a Gemara like that. You have to know what the parameters are. And what's called ugly? What's called pretty? What's a good boy? What's a good? Not so simple to make these distinctions. Very hard. Yes. Wedding?
Yeah,
when the music stops and everyone's singing.
Or like at the bezekim when they dance.
Woman singing at a
that
wedding?
No, or the way like the music stops and everyone keeps singing and dancing.
Oh, you don't mean it's a solo. Hazadim. Mukahaba'a. You mean singing along with a loud voice, only Shama.
Go.
You know, I don't know, things have changed a little bit. When I was young, so let's say for example, after the or let's say on the way to the Badek and back. So the men would dance. That's how it was, The men would dance to the Badek, dance to the back of the Badek. And the women wouldn't be there. They would be on the sides. After the chuppah, the men would dance. They would be on the side. Now it's a Naya Meisim. You have to be a traffic cop. You know, when the chas and kala go from the chuppah to the yichud, and the men are dancing in front of all the women, try to get in there and start singing at the top of their lungs, oh, she's shama also. I don't think that's right. I don't think either is right. They shouldn't be dancing there, they shouldn't be singing there. But on the other hand, when they have the men's side and the women's side, I think it's completely permissible for the woman to dance and sing along. And it helps to make it lebedev. And even though you'll say, but somewhere they're going to hear you from the other side of the room. The band drives everybody out. Men, women, children, the band.
What if the band stops?
And
your people continue singing?
Oh, that's
tough.
Yeah.
Like this
to Usha. Yeah, no business. The band stops, so let the boys sing then. If there's a large group and they're all off to the side, that's okay. But if they're still close to the men, which often happens, it's really not a good idea. Yes?
Before you said like a whole choir is fine,
just can't sing. Said if it exists, it's okay, but not that it's appealing. Not an idea. Yes?
Now waiting for the husband
come
out.
Let's
say there is no scene, some of the
bands are playing dancing music, but the husband comes out yet. Right. Would the woman be allowed to
dance on her side?
Of course.
So,
big seating.
If
there's
at the wedding.
Right?
And
like
the husband's not out yet.
No, then I would not do it. There's no mitzvah. If the cloth and collar, if anyone dances with the collar, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, so you're allowed to do it even though someone is looking from the side. What are you going to do? You're so before, what can you do? It's no mitzvah, no collar. Save your strength for next day. Good idea anyway. Yes?
What about, like, say, for instance, in the case of the bar mitzvah, if the mother of the bar mitzvah or something, if it's, like, really being the command, like, who's considered possible?
I never heard of a crazy thing. I mean, many bar mitzvahs. Bar mitzvahs, the only people who dance are the men. There's no women dancing at bar mitzvahs. Period. Not a chassid. A chassid is a kallah. And a bas mitzvah, they can be dancing for the... But yes. It's really not ideal. The band should be really on the men's side. But again, it's not. I think it's still okay. I told you before, the photographer. Right. That's right. Yeah.
What's the whole deal with the mitzvah time?
Mitzvah time. Unbelievable. Talmud and I got married in June, and it was a mitzvah tanz. Unbelievable, the mitzvah tanz.
But then someone at the end.
At the end. What kind of family? The Rebbe. Well, the Rebbe starts first. The Rebbe does mitzvah tanz. So what did the Rebbe do? He takes a gartel, and the kala holds the gartel. The Rebbe holds the gartel. holds it for a second and throws it down, and then it dances in front of the chasam kal. And they called me to do the mitzvah class. I was the rebbe. So I did the same thing. Hold for a second, I put it down. And then the kala stood up, sit down, and just sit down with the chasam. Yes, ancient tradition, principal times. Did it at my wedding. What? It's Hasidic, I think. I think so. Zohar, I don't know what Zohar is. It's Hasidic. There were times, I don't know if it's still true, I was told that when the Rebbe took the kala by the hand, I think, I can't swear to that. I guess I felt the Rebbe was so high and holy. Today's rule is not a good idea. Too many stories of Rebbe's and rabbis. Too many stories. Yes?
I feel like when I put the wedding, but then like all our children come over.
Yeah, but that kind of dancing is, you know, shuffle. Shuffle,
it's not. Yes. Let's say you're at a wedding where you know Chatzchila is not going to be a mechitza, and you have how do you balance the chiyuv of Simchas Kala? You know, do you have
the chiyuv of Simchas Kala, I think is more important. Yes, the Kala. Even though the men are not.
And to keep the dancing going, let's say, like, you know, girls try and keep dancing going.
But after the band stops
me. No, I'm saying like the people dance with the kala, like the individuals, and then the girls try and keep the dancing going, so it's late.
Yeah, it's okay. Yes.
Does that only go at a wedding, or what about like an engagement party?
Engagement parties have a mechitza.
And if there's not, you're
saying? If it's not, it shouldn't be an engagement party.
You know, is one allowed to dance?
No, simple kala part of the game. Kala is a kala. The official, the word kala means the game when you just got married. I'm going to part of the game. Question. Think about it. All right. Now, the last thing in the Ramah here, it says, Avol kol ha-ragil bo eino erva. What does that mean? What does it mean, kol ha-ragil bo eino erva? How would you translate this word? Have to look at an English Mr. Brewer. There's an English one. I wonder how they translate it. What does it mean, kol ha-ragil bo eino erva? What does the word mean? So Yudches, the Mishnah Berurah says, Rotzalomach, Kevan she-ragil bo lo yavo l'deir, if he's used to it, he will not come to evil thoughts. Va'afil ha-meishasish, even if she's married. Va'afil ha-chi, nevertheless, Asur l'chamein le'honos v'dibura. Ah, he just gave it away. What does dibura mean? Speech, not singing. Speech. So apparently Mr. Brewer interpreted it to mean speech. Speech.
So you used their speech or you used their...
Oh, so there are... So the Mr. Brewer seems to be saying that the only dispensation is for the speech, not for any singing. Speech. The woman's speaking, right. However, there's no dispensation at all for a singing voice. However, if you look carefully in the other sources, Divrei Chamudos, we mentioned one before, the bottom of the Rush, he says as follows. He says, Kol dibura she'eino zemer she'medaberes kedar kavuta. So the speaking voice is permissible. And then he adds, Hu'adim l'chol kol aragil bo lo chayshina. So to any voice that he's used to, it is not a problem. Now obviously doesn't mean a speaking voice, you already took care of that. But I think he means it's a singing voice. So I read the Ramah to mean a singing voice. I will call a ragil bo, that good bo, that he is used to that voice, and everybody thought it means even if it's a singing voice. As we saw earlier, whatever he's used to is, you know, like the Divrei Chamuda said earlier, he's consistent. But even if it's a part of the body which everyone exposes in that time and place, he's used to it. So that's what he meant to standing over here, he's used to it, it's not a problem of error. That's how I read the Ramah, but it's not how the Mishnah Berurah read it. The last speaking voice is a problem? Of course it's a problem. I never understood why, how can it be a problem? Until I was once observing something. And sometimes a person will say to somebody, hello. I said the woman is trying to attract the man's attention, so she responds by saying, oh, hello, or something like that. I'm not that good at that, but even a speaking voice could be something which is supposed to be attractive. And that's not allowed. The Rashi said it's not allowed. Shela shalom. Even hello is not allowed. He meant that kind of hello. That would be a problem. Would appear before a king. But it says in the Shabbat. Hold it for a king, you father's spirit. So, yes.
What are the guidelines in terms of your father or your brothers?
Same story. If your father and your brother, I don't think there's any problem wearing pants.
Shorts.
Shorts? Strictly speaking, I don't think it's a problem. It's not nice. It's not nice. Yes.
What about
the same for you? You can, no, you're getting dressed like in front of a king is only for Shimon Esra, not for Brooks. Yes. Yeah. No problem. No problem. You know, I always say that boys should wear a tie when he does. Well, the other day, when the king came to my school, I wouldn't put on a tie for him either. Probably true in some cases. I have to go. My bus is waiting for me. We'll have to admit to him next week. We'll still be regular this year, right? 2 weeks. And then I'll see my little chum early for the... phone number if you want to call up. That's what I was told.